You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back. Timberwolves tomorrow night and the next night right here in WCCO. We celebrate often the heroics of people that do well and perform well. Sometimes I've long said that we don't spend enough time on some of the others because there are great lessons in life that are being taught out there by people that, for different reasons, didn't get to the top but had that dream, sometimes through no fault of their own. Elena Contreras was a starter for the Hopkins, the much celebrated Hopkins girls basketball team, one of the best teams in the country, obviously. And last summer, while she was playing in June, before she had gone on the AAU circuit to earn what she hoped would be a high-end Division I scholarship, she blew out her knee, ACL. It happens. It's not unusual. But not only did it end her summer season, it ended her winter season. She can't play with her high school team. Colleges couldn't watch her. All those things come into play. Now, on top of that, her father, Mike, understands basketball because he's a longtime assistant coach at Hopkins. And so that dream that she was living, he was living with her and coaching that team that was her community. And obviously both pulled like the rug from under your feet, and now you're left and reduced to watching games and cheering for a team that has had great success and played on ESPN and everything else. And I said this would be an interesting topic to talk to Mike about what it's like to go through that as a parent and what he sees in his daughter and maybe the learning lesson that he tries to get from it that all of us could use from time to time. And he joins us now. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. How long did you coach at Hopkins? How many years?
Oh, I think it was 5 years, 4 or 5 years, something like that.
And you just love basketball, right?
Love basketball. Just, yeah. I mean, if I'm not watching it, I used to play it and I referee it, I'm coaching it. I mean, it just consumes me. And it, you know, there's worse things you can be consumed by.
Exactly. Now, your daughter grows up and she decides she likes basketball too, or how does that play out?
She did. You know, when she was little, I didn't want to force her or anything, so we tried a bunch of things. Loved soccer. Just fell in love with soccer.
She's got that high-end speed, you know?
Yeah. And didn't want to try basketball. I made her. I said, if you don't like it, you don't have to play it. Just because I, you know, love it. Ended up loving it. Just loved it. Fell in love with the game like me.
And so now she starts. She got a roadmap, and she's playing with some pretty good players, and things are moving along pretty good. Especially if you're at Hopkins, except for COVID, like it affected everybody else. But explain this last summer, what it was like for her, and what happened to her.
It was going really good. The summer before, she had got a lot of, you know, got the ball rolling with colleges and coaches, and got a lot of interest. Had an offer, and we didn't take it because you can't visit. It was COVID, so we weren't going to do anything without visiting. So had a lot of momentum going into her junior year. She started, and then a lot of momentum going into her senior year. Just a great summer. So we were looking forward to July. In AAU world, July is everything. July is, you know, the top of the world. You know, coaches are everywhere, so everyone looks forward to it. Thursday, June 24th, she had a normal practice, and tore her ACL. Just, you know.
Were you there when she tore it?
Excuse me?
Were you there when she tore it?
I was not. Usually I go to everything. I've never missed practices or anything because I always coached. But she had just got her license a little while ago and wanted, you know, a little independence. And
oh, yeah.
She said, Dad, yeah, Dad, you don't have to go to every practice.
Yep.
You know, it's just practice.
Yep.
You know? So I stayed home. And that day, she said her shoulder hurt. So I had actually texted her and said, take today off.
Uh-huh.
Don't practice today. You know, you're done for the day. July is huge.
Yep.
And she said, being her, she said, Dad, there's already four people out. I can't be another person on the sideline sitting. So I kind of gave in.
You mean on her summer team or what?
Yeah, on her summer team.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. The day she tore ACL, I told her to take it off. Practice. Don't practice. And I kind of gave in and let her decide. So, you know, and then it happened. You know, and then she keeps at me like, what if I would have said no? You know,
yeah.
Sit this one out. Let your body rest.
So did you know right? Well, how does an ACL, is it a couple days before you know for sure what it is?
Well, we went to the emergency room right away. I got to the gym, and she was crying, and she whispered in my ear, get me out of here. You know, everyone's staring at her, and there's ice on her knee, you know. Went to the emergency room, and he did a couple tests for probably 30 seconds, and he said, yeah, I think it's her ACL.
Yeah.
You know, and we just still held out hope that it wasn't, because this wasn't an official it wasn't official.
Yep.
So we got, you know, but... He said, I'm pretty sure it's ACL right away.
ACL generally means 9 months to a year. What happens next? You held out some hope that she could play this year.
Yes, we did. The first person we went to, he said, I asked him point blank, and he said, yes, January. She'll be back in January. Just matter of fact. You know, just no hesitation.
So now you're fired up again.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I told her, I went in there to the room, and I said, I just heard January. And you know, she'd start crying, and yes, you know, happy tears.
Yeah.
Well, then we talked to the surgeon, and I pulled her in the hallway and asked her the same question after surgery, and she just looked at me with this blank look and said, let's go in the room and talk.
Yep.
And she said, not a chance. Not
full
a chance.
Tear, is that what that meant, or what?
Full tear, and she said if you come back in 6 to 8 months, you can tear it again. There's a higher chance of tearing it again, and you'll be right back in this situation.
And as hard as that was, I bet you appreciated those words that she was frank with you and didn't try to mislead you, huh?
Yes, a lot of tears in that room, but that just let us know right away that, you know, it's not going to happen. She didn't want to string us on. She didn't want to string Elena on or me or my wife, and she just said, I have to tell you this right now. You know, don't hold out hope. You might be able to play in March if Hopkins makes it to state.
Mm-hmm.
You might. That's a small possibility. So that was our hope. But, you know, that's gone now.
Okay, so now Mike Contreras is our guest, assistant coach at Hopkins, was, and his daughter tore her ACL, heading towards a scholarship for sure. The only question was what school, and not to mention a senior year with one of the best teams in the history of the state of Minnesota that she'd been a starter on, that she's missing out on right now. So not, now, you know, I mean, life is, right? There's your lemon, where's your lemonade? You know she's going to be good, and she could be good enough to, you know, play somewhere, but the options aren't what she thought they were. What do you do? Because there's still a market for her. You're just trying to figure out the market.
Yep, and I wanted to be proactive, so I called about three coaches that were really, really on her. I didn't call the rest. I just told them the situation. I wanted to tell them right away. And in my mind, I was hoping they were going to still say, you know what, with technology today, with the way things are, she'll be back 100% next year. We're still interested in her. Well, that didn't happen. You know, the kiss of death was, we'll be in touch. And that's
yeah.
What they all said.
Yeah. And basically, yeah. They're saying, look, man, we got a transfer portal, we got freshmen, we got lots of options here. Nothing against your daughter, but we're in business to win games, and we need to move on people. We can't sit and wait because we got all kinds of options here to win games.
Exactly, and that's it right there. You know, they have so many options. Extra year, transfer portal. It was already tough on 2022s, her age group. and this just made it tougher. She was kind of just tossed aside, and I can't be mad at them. They, like you said, it's a business. They have to win. You can't win with the kid with the torn ACL.
Yeah, Glenn Mason, as you say, I'm not in the football coaching business. I'm in the winning business. I only get a job if I win, so I'm in the business of winning. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. Hey, can you stay on with us for a quick break?
I can.
Mike Contreras is our guest. So what do you do now? Your daughter's lost her dream of playing her senior season with her friends for a state championship where you'd be the heavy favorites, and the scholarship offers are gone. What does Dad do next? What does Elena do next? We'll ask him when we come back on Sports to the Max. What does Elena do next? We'll ask him when we come back on Sports to the Max. Welcome back. Mike Contreras is our guest. He's a former assistant coach at Hopkins High School. His daughter, Elena, on her way to Division I scholarship until she tore her ACL and missing her senior season and missing her Division I scholarship. Doesn't mean her basketball career is over, however. We rejoin the conversation with Mike. So, Mike, you find out there's no Division I schools that are going to put the money on the table, but she still wants to play. What do you do next?
Yeah. Oh, man, that was, you know, you feel hopeless at first, you know, but in my mind, there was so much interest in there, and I knew so many people, and we made so many contacts that somebody was going to take a chance. That was my mindset. Somebody was going to take a chance. Coach Starks reached out to some schools, and, you know, they were honest with her. We didn't get to see her play. And Dre Jefferson from the Minnesota Suns, Gerard Curry from North Tartan, I was getting so many texts from people saying, let me know what I can do. But it's crazy how life works. I met a guy, a coach from a school in Brooklyn, New York, St. Francis, who he no longer coaches there. He just texted me one day off the blue, hey, how you doing? Just checking on you and Elena. And he didn't know. You know, I told him what happened. He says, I got a friend down at Cochise. Let me call you right back. Next thing I know, the Cochise assistant coach is calling me. She wants film and a highlight. I sent it down there, and they said, when can you visit?
Take me back. Explain Cochise, what college this is.
It's a JUCO, D1 JUCO in Arizona, Douglas, Arizona. I wouldn't have heard of it. I never heard of Douglas, Arizona. We did have a Hopkins player go there a couple years ago, but I didn't know anything about it, nothing. And they called and wanted us to visit, flew us down there and laid out the red carpet, and she felt real comfortable to say yes to them.
So she's going to community college, and she still got the same goal, right?
Correct. She one day we were driving, and she just out the blue said, I want to play in March Madness. And, you know, that's the first time I heard her say that. So this thing has given her time to think. And, you know, I don't know, you know, people say find yourself. But now I think it's given her time to do that. You know, so, I mean, it's brought out some good things, even though it's a horrible thing that happened to a kid. It's not the worst thing.
And but so, I mean, has she come around? What's her attitude like now? Does she feel disappointed because all her friends are going to four-year colleges? How is she handling it?
Yes, when, you know, it was tough. When, you know, social media is everything now for kids. You know, her friend Amaya is going to the U. Taylor Woodson's going to Michigan. Girls that she played against and did well are going to other D1s. You know, and you see committed. You know, and we talked about it for a little bit. It was tough. You know, she would come up to me and say, you know, I played against her. You know, I feel I can play with her. You know, she never put anybody down or anything down. She was happy for these girls, but it was tough seeing everyone commit to these D1 schools. And she has nothing as of yet, as of that time.
Yeah, even though she knows it can happen and all those things, it's hard when you're not in that conversation, right?
Oh, definitely. And the conversations, you know, with adults saying congrats to this kid and congrats.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota Nice is great, you know, but.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So you're sitting and you decided if she can't play, I'm not going to coach. Not because you don't like coaching, but because you wanted two things. Either it would be so hard every game, or with all the joy that this team was going to extract out of the games that they played, you'd almost felt guilty enjoying to an extent. Explain what went into that, because you just said, as a dad, I can't do this.
Yeah, I just felt if she can't enjoy basketball, who am I to enjoy this game. I stopped reffing. I didn't. I just felt, who am I to run up and down this court on two good knees? You know, and she, my daughter's laid up in the bed on pain meds in August and July and on crutches, and she can barely move. I don't want to watch basketball. I don't want to see basketball. I didn't want anything to do with basketball, a game that I just loved for over 40 years. It took everything out of me.
So what is it like right now for you? Can you go to a game, or do you go?
Yes, I've gone to some Hopkins games now, and I've gone to some other games. I'm starting to enjoy it again. She's coming to games with me, you know, going to see her friends play that she played AAU with. St. Louis Spark games, MCA games. So it's going good right now. She's getting back into running now. She can run and jump right now. She's still a couple months out, which is disappointing for her, but it is enjoying seeing Hopkins having fun. You know, I smile.
Yeah, how good are they, Mike?
Oh, my goodness. They're scary. They're scary. They're just rolling through people where you think this is going to be a good game. All right, let me settle in. And they're up 30 at halftime.
Yeah,
you know, that's not a bad thing, but they're just rolling. It's scary what Coach Starks has them doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, that is a lot of talent sitting in one gymnasium on a given night, for sure. What have you learned from it? You know, you're not the first parent to go through it, and obviously the stakes may be higher because of scholarship online, et cetera, but lots of kids get injured during the year, and lots of them lose their senior year, their junior year, whatever it is, to injury. What have you learned from it that you would share with other parents?
Patience. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. No matter how dark it gets, you're going to get there. And when I say there, I mean you're going to be cleared 100%. Your daughter, your son, whoever it is, it will get there. It will get better, and everything will be okay. Everything happens for a reason. That's the big thing I learned. Everything happens for a reason. She wasn't supposed to go to that school that offered her. She wasn't supposed to go visit here. I passed up a lot of visits in June. I made that decision. She's supposed to be at Cochise. Why? I don't know yet. But they gave her that opportunity. I'm forever grateful for them. You know, I've been texting them and in contact with them, but it's going to be okay. It really is going to be okay.
Mike Contreras, our guest, but you know, there's a third piece to this, and that's your wife, who helps hold this thing, her mother, that helps hold this thing together. Through faith. And when I hear everything, you know, happens for a reason, I hear what I believe your wife probably communicates as well.
Oh my goodness. She kept me together. She really kept me and her together. You know, a lot of prayer, a lot of faith. She never panicked, never wavered. She just kept telling me it's going to be okay. There's a bigger reason behind this. And I had to get used to that, and I had to believe it. You know, it took me a while to believe that, but I believe it now. I believe it. And when you're angry, you don't want to hear that.
No. No, but, you know, and uncertainty creates anger, right? I mean, knowing she's going to Cochise is clarity. Clarity eliminates anger. You know, just knowledge of what's next eliminates anger to an extent. You also had the pleasure, we had him on the other night, of coaching with Brian Cosgrove. What did that do for you?
Oh, my goodness. I used to, you know, I felt I was a pretty good coach, and I used to go to coaching clinics. Once I started coaching with Kaz, I didn't have to go to coaching clinics anymore. I lived.
You got a clinic every day, huh?
Every day. That man is just taught me a lot. He was so dedicated. I thought I worked hard. I didn't work hard until I met Kaz, and it was fun. It's not hard work when it's fun. You know, he really created a family atmosphere. I just can't wait. I hope he gets into it again where I can go join him.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing it as an assistant, but you're right. I mean, some program needs to make this guy the head man. I mean, let's go here. You want a good experience for kids? You want them to win? You want them to learn the right things? Let's go. Let's get this thing done right. Let's hire the right guy, you know?
Exactly.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. You're well-spoken, and I appreciate it. Good to spend time with you the other day, and wish Elena well as well.
I appreciate you. Thank you for telling her story, and thank you for having me on.
You bet, Michael. Wow. Tough stuff. You forget about the tough stuff that goes into life. And it always looks easy when you're playing on some team and things are going well. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's not. And it doesn't mean it won't, but it's not at the moment.
When we come back, he's throwing his hat in the ring. What ring, what hat? We'll explain when we come back. There's a lot going on right now in sports and beyond, and there's an umbrella that's over everything, and that is the decisions that we make and how our society moves along. Dave Hutchinson is going to be out as Hennepin County Sheriff. He's announced he will not seek re-election after an unfortunate DWI, car crash, all those things that have been in the headlines. Jai Hansen has said, I want in. I'm ready. I'm putting my hat in the ring. I want that spot. And he joins us now. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Mike, thank you for having me on.
Explain your background, first of all, in law enforcement.
Yeah, law enforcement. I've been a police officer for 15 years now. I have a master's degree in public safety administration from the University of St. Thomas, just across the river. I grew up in Minneapolis, and that's my base, and that's where my family lives, and that's the area I'm passionate about. But seeing what happened in Minneapolis and spreading throughout our county, this is the time that we need to step in, and we need to get this figured out.
As a law enforcement official, when you say that, seeing what happened and how it's spreading out, what do you mean by that? What do you see from where you sit?
Well, from a law enforcement perspective, I think, you know, seeing throughout my career what's been going on and the way it's been trending, and the way it's been trending is not in a way that's productive to our county. And we need to fix it. I mean, you saw what happened after George Floyd. You had a front row seat. You were out there night in and night out talking to people and seeing the trauma that people were going through. And it's continuously got worse, and we need to figure out how we can control that. And there hasn't been any leadership. No politicians have stepped up. And for me to step in this race is because I see the lack of empathy to the people that are in our county. And the victims have nobody advocating for them. And I think for what we need a sheriff that's independent and not lockstep with a political party. And that's why I'm running as an independent and putting people over the politics.
So did you think, I mean, what was your assessment of Sheriff Hutchinson's body of work short of, you know, the unfortunate incident that he had?
Well, I announced my candidacy back in August. And for me, his critical errors happened way before December and what happened in December. You know, Sheriff Hutchinson on a personal level is a good guy. And I wish him the best. However, I called him in August before I announced, and we just have a fundamental difference on how we want to get to our end goal and what we see is productive for our county. And for me, the lack of leadership after George Floyd and the civil unrest and how that was handled, we don't let a community burn to the ground. And I think he was MIA in that time frame.
How did that work at that time, and how should it work from a county perspective when you've got this thing that, you know, is central to Minneapolis, but it's also going on in St. Paul at that time when you're talking about the George Floyd riots and the vandalism that went with it? How should a county operate at that point in time?
I think we need a vocal leader in that position. You know, as the sheriff, you are the chief law enforcement officer of the county. And as far as that goes, you need to be able to get out there and be a champion for the law enforcement members as well as the community. And there was just a lack of leadership there during that time. You don't answer to any elected party. In any elected body like a Minneapolis City Council or the Minneapolis Mayor or the governor, quite frankly. So he had an ability to take a leadership role there that was lacking, and he failed to do so.
Okay, let's take Jai Hansen's our guest. He's going to run for Hennepin County Sheriff. You know, what's happened in Minneapolis? We've got three young people that were shot
you know, crossfire randomly, whatever it was, that we have no, we still don't know who shot them, or at least they haven't been convicted or arrested. Now we've got Deshaun Hill, and we're trying to find him. Who does that fall upon? Does it fall upon, in your mind, does that fall upon everyone? Should the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department be heavily involved in that? Do you turn it over to MPD? Do you let somebody else come in? How does that work? Because we're sitting out there with people that have shot people, and we haven't brought them to justice.
You know, great question, Mike. I think for me, running as the sheriff, I would say this. I think we need to assist Minneapolis PD. And I don't mean taking their 911 calls, but what I do mean is doing targeted enforcement where we can ease the pressure on not only them, but other agencies or other cities in our county, whether that's carjacking, home invasions, or shootings. We need to get this under control, and I think that's what a metro-wide approach can do. There's been mayors of certain suburban cities that have asked for that, for a metro-wide response, and that's what a sheriff's office can assist with.
Jai Hansen, our guest, running for Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. You know, right now I'm kind of fascinated by interested in the investigations, because like I said, we haven't been able to bring them to justice. Are we short on investigators, or are we, what are we? You know, everybody said, you know, somebody knows who did it. Somebody knows who shot Deshaun Hill the other day. Somebody knows who shot those poor innocent children last year. And we say, well, why isn't somebody talking? There's reward money. There's everything out there. How do you finesse it? How do you find the killers?
You know, to be completely honest with you, I think we're short across the board. One of our biggest challenges in law enforcement is going to be, how are we going to recruit and the retention of good officers?
Sure.
And keeping them in those positions.
How would you do that? What's the key?
I think that starts with leadership. I think that starts with our politicians. I think that starts with rhetoric. And I think what our politicians have shown over and over again, that they have not supported law enforcement approach and community approach when you can do both. I think we can acknowledge a history of a criminal justice system that hasn't been always fair to people of color, but that doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable for their actions today. You know, as a person of color myself, growing up in Minneapolis, I get it. I understand, you know, walking through stores and being followed. But what hurts me is watching what's happening to our county. We don't let a county burn to the ground. You look at the riots after Martin Luther King in the 60s in Chicago. Chicago has never recovered from that. And I'm not saying this as being a bully and holding people accountable. I'm saying this for the people that don't have somebody advocating for them, the people that face the trauma and continuously are facing the trauma with no representation. I'm talking about people around, you know, 38th in Chicago that are worried that their kids are going to get hurt when they're going to the bus stop, or, you know, drug deals in front of their house. These are the people I want to you know, run for.
If somebody was to ask you, Jai, here's what you need to know about being a Minneapolis police officer. If they were just to ask you about that right now in 2022, what would your answer be? What do you need to know about being an officer right now in the Minneapolis police force?
Well, I'm not with Minneapolis PD right now.
No, but I know that, but you understand the position.
I understand the position, and what I would say to them, it's a police officer in general, it's a thankless position, right? I think when you have leadership that's coming down on you, when you have politicians coming down on you, it's a thankless position. However, it's a position that's so important and so needed, and we need to continue to champion for our good officers and have that support for them so we can get the objectives done and protecting people. That's why, for me, it's really important that I run as an independent. I don't want to be lockstep with any political party, because if we're going to fix this, we need to do it surrounding public safety and the people. And I need to, at the end of the day, I need to be able to look in the mirror and be happy with the campaign our team runs.
I hear you, man. Keep us in the loop. Keep us updated. It's heavy lifting right now, and you know that emotionally and everything else.
Absolutely.
And it's it's a place that none of us ever thought we'd see that we're in right now, and we got to quit pretending it doesn't exist and start accepting that it does and start doing something about it. But appreciate it very much, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Jai Hansen, running for the position of Hennepin County Sheriff. That is a tough spot to be, but you got to have somebody that wants to be there. When we come back, the Super Bowl, according to Tubbs. Stay with us. Interesting show tonight, covering a lot of different stuff. Chris Tubbs, you watch football games sometimes with a keen interest, sometimes with financial interest.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you watch yesterday's?
With very much with a financial interest.
And do you play the game of the numbers games, the 2-7 at the halftime and all that stuff?
No, I don't play the squares so much. Or I might play a few prop bets, but I'm more into the DFS thing, the daily fantasy, where you're putting together your lineup of five guys and you're trying to figure out, who you're going to put in your captain spot and how you allocate all your money to make sure that you got your lineup that's, under your $50,000 or $60,000 salary cap.
How'd you come out?
I got to admit, Maxie, I was looking real good, and I'm not going to toot my own horn, but yeah. I'm going to toot my own horn. I was within, at halftime, before OBJ got hurt, I was hanging around 3-4 points into the, let's just say there were a couple of numbers and then a comma in terms of the prize pool.
Come on now.
No, I'm dead serious, and I feel so bad.
So you had Beckham?
Yes, I had OBJ in my captain spot, which gave me a point and a half more. And then I had Joe Mixon and Matthew. I really loaded up with the Rams offense, and then you had to have just a couple with the Bengals. So I went with Joe Mixon because I knew he'd get the ball, and then you kind of got to throw a dart here and there. The funny thing is, Maxie, when OBJ got hurt, I was feeling good. He got hurt, and I'm like, I told my wife, and I feel like a complete jerk for saying this. I'm like, I feel so bad for OBJ. But I said, I feel really bad for me, because this was I've never been this close to a big time prize like that.
You're knocking on the door.
Oh man, I was knocking on heaven's door,
and,
man.
And what didn't happen that would have, what could have taken you up still without him? That didn't happen.
The one thing that hurt was that T. Higgins 75-yard touchdown at the beginning of the third quarter, because those that had Higgins not only in their lineup but got the extra point and a half, that catapulted them over everybody that had OBJ. And OBJ plays more, at least you can somewhat mitigate that or equal that out. So that pretty much, I still did okay, but I didn't come out as nearly as good as I could have.
And so when you see, let's just say a call like the non-call, or they didn't call the obvious offensive pass interference on him, does it just infuriate you when you have money on it?
It does. But at first, I was trying to figure out, I'm like, why did Jalen Ramsey just lose his footing? And then you look and you're like, that was such an egregious OPI and they didn't call it. And I'm like, that's crazy. Now, was that karma a couple of years ago in the NFC Championship game? Nicole Roby Coleman. I don't know, but it was just one of those really weird, I figured at that stage, with the way that Ramsey's head turned around and the way that he was flung, that it would have been something. But after that, I needed a lot. And again, I did okay, but I would have needed a lot more. But yeah, it was fun to say I was in the hunt for, for 50 G's for, 60 minutes.
Yeah, you're in the hunt, man. There's something.
I'm like the Vikings in week 14. I'm in the hunt.
You're in the hunt, man.
I'm in the hunt. I'm not going to make the playoffs, but I'm in the hunt.
Yeah. So can you enjoy watching a game, though, when you've got that involved and you got skin in the game?
Yeah, I can. I can. Well, I've just gotten to the point where it's just a little extra nudge for me to have a little, you know, have a little cash, have a little something riding on the game. I can enjoy games when I don't have anything, but I don't know. To me, as I've gotten older, I just like to be able to make a little investment here and there.
Okay, but you can do that and still enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like at the end of the game, like I was invested in, you know, are the Bengals really going to go down and, you know, possibly get to overtime, you know, win their first Super Bowl ever? Yeah, I mean, I was rooting for that. I kind of like to see these franchises that their fan base has never experienced a Super Bowl. So I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see that fan base experience that, you know, because I want to be part of that fan base someday. So I can sit back and enjoy a game when I've got it, and, you know, when I've got money on it, or when I don't. I mean, to me, it's more enjoyable when I have money riding on it, but I can sit back and watch a game and enjoy it just as much.
This doggone thing called the NFL, though, I mean, you know, there was a time when we thought, okay, ratings are down, COVID is in, dealing with the concussions, dealing with all this stuff, veterans are, you know, retired players want a bigger piece of it, injuries, fewer kids playing, blah, 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 blah. And somehow, some way, you wake up on February 14th, 2022, and they are so far superior and so far the king of sports.
Yeah.
And the gap is even wider, isn't it?
I think because they do one thing that none of the other leagues do, and they are a made-for-TV sport. Some of the other games...
Some of it's by accident, but they are so made-for-TV that it's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that... It's like, oh, I can't watch golf, or I can't watch baseball, or I can't watch hockey, I can't do... Football is something that I think more people enjoy watching on TV than they enjoy going to the games.
Oh, it just sucks you right in.
And it's just
the right amount of time after the play to see the replay, to form an opinion. Then they run the next play. Then you say they should pass, and they run. I mean, it's just the perfect amount of time there to get everybody's attention, and it just brings you right in and doesn't let you go until the game is over.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think people realize how much downtime there is.
Oh, yeah, which is perfect for fans, it turns out, because that allows for the high-definition, low-angle replay.
Absolutely.
We decide whether or not they should challenge it with flag.
Yeah, the NFL is invested in that. And, you know, they've invested in those cameras. They've invested in the bits, in the marketing. It's like, you know, every broadcast now has a former official, whether it's Dean Blandino or it's Mike Pereira or whoever. Like, you have somebody there that can speak on it. And 5 years ago, that wasn't the case.
No, and Gene Sertori was on yesterday on the radio side of it. Mm-hmm. It was great talking about the way you approach it. We had Bernie Kukar on the night, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's
interesting stuff, you know, but all that stuff is interesting, and the NFL is interesting, and, you know, everything about it is interesting, and, you know, it's just incredible to me to see what they've got. Like, some of it they've just stumbled upon. Like, the collective bargaining agreement from years ago created free agency. Well, you didn't think about it at the time, but that was a windfall in publicity because everybody talks in the offseason about what free agents you can sign under the same with the salary cap. The salary cap was designed for one thing, but now everybody's talking about cap money and should they take the hit. And I mean, all these things have become, I mean, they've just stumbled into some of these that have been unbelievable marketing tools.
The offseason for the NFL...
It's unbelievable.
It's maybe even more popular than the season itself.
I mean, when the NFL draft is bigger than your NBA playoffs in terms of rating by far, you know, what more do you need to know?
People love the NFL offseason, Maxie.
All right, buddy. Good to be with you again, my friend.
You too.
Tubbsy putting it in perspective. Henry Lake will do the same coming up next.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.